Well, hello, CCV. I just want to take this opportunity to welcome everybody on all of our campuses this weekend across the valley as we continue this Fresh Start series. And I guess I want to say to you, is it crazy to anybody else? Does it feel crazy that just exactly 1 month ago we were celebrating Christmas? Does that seem crazy to you? I mean, it seems like 3 or 4 months away sometimes in my life, but it was just 1 month ago this weekend that we were celebrating Christmas together. That is crazy. And I want to ask you this question. When it comes to going into a new year like we're doing right now and getting this fresh start, does your new year so far feel much different than the last year? I mean, sometimes I know as human beings, the reason I say that is because when we look to a new year, you know, we're so usually full of energy and hope, and this new year is going to be new, and it's going to be improved. And I guess my question is really just kind of like this. Have you really had a fresh start so far to your new year? Are you happy with where you're headed? I think sometimes it can be easy for the new year to just start feeling a lot like the past year. And I know in my life, it's easy to get there. And so each year, around the end of the year and beginning of the year, I try and create some resolutions. And I have this whole file folder of resolutions that goes back almost 20 years in my family life and in my financial life and things like that. All kinds of things that I just want to get better at over the course of the next year. And so a few weeks ago, I wrote down some resolutions, if you will, about my relationships, about my friendships in my life. And since that's what we're talking about today, I thought I would just share this little section of my resolutions with you. Here's three things I wrote down about my relationships in 2015. First of all, I just want to be more present. That means with my time. When I'm with you, I really want to be with you. Secondly, I want to be more generous. I've been given so much by God, and I want to be more generous to people who are around me, the friends that I have in my life. And then finally, I want to be more concerned with those who are far from God, my friends who are far from God. And frankly, this is the big one for me because a lot of times I'm just concerned about my lack of concern for friends that I have who are far from God. And I realize over the years that who I become at the end of a year actually starts formulating at the beginning of a year. In other words, who I become like in December of this year is actually being formulated right now. I'm not going to wake up and be more concerned and more generous and more present. I'm not going to just kind of drift that way. Who I become at the end of the year is being created now at the beginning of the year. And you know what? Here's just what I want you to realize. It's the very same for each of you. Do you know that? The foundation that you're laying right now, the groundwork that you're laying right now in your life is what allows you to become who you'll be tomorrow and next month and at the end of this year. And so I'm super excited today for us to talk about friendships and relationships because I think it's a huge part of our lives. In fact, if you have a Bible with you today, I want to ask you to open up to the book of Matthew in your Bible, chapter 9. If you don't have a Bible with you, maybe use a smartphone or a tablet or something like that to locate Scripture. Find Matthew chapter 9. If you have the CCV app and you want to use that, go ahead and grab that. In this section of Scripture, it's kind of like a backstage pass into the friendships of Jesus. And as we study this Scripture today, we're going to learn a whole lot of principles that we can apply to our lives, too, about getting a fresh start with our friendships and relationships. So let's dive in. Matthew chapter 9, and we'll start in verse 9. It says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew. Everybody say Matthew. Matthew. He saw this guy named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, this is maybe a few weeks or days or something removed, it says that many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with them and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and with sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Now, there's just a very few verses right there, just a few sentences, but there's a lot we can learn from it. Let's use our imaginations for just a little bit today in this story. Jesus leaves this little seaside town, and he's walking along these villages, and he comes to this tax collector's booth. And these tax collectors who had taken up residence in these little booths were making life miserable for their communities. I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but the time we're reading about, the tax rate for people was hovering around 40 or 50%. Of their income would go to taxes. And what would happen with these tax collectors is they would take the taxes for Rome, but then they would also extract some extra taxes for themselves. And so everybody in all of these little villages would know who these tax collectors were and where all these little booths were, and they would try and avoid these things. And I also want to say this, I've just been thinking about this over the course of the last week. If when you think about Matthew, when I think about Matthew, if you think of him as, you know, some kind of like little frail accountant-like guy, not that all accountants are frail, right? But like, you know, has a pocket protector in his, you know, in his jacket or something like that, and he's a number cruncher accountant type. If that's what you have in mind when you think about Matthew, you probably better change that image. You know why? Because basically, Matthew's job was to separate you from your money. That was kind of his job. And in my mind, I'm thinking that Matthew probably looks a whole lot more like a bouncer at a bar than an accountant, right? And I'm thinking in my mind, if this is the Matthew, let's say that he's the Italian Matthew, he might say, "Hey, are you gonna pay me what you owes me or what? You know? You're gonna give it to me." So that's like the Italian Matthew. And maybe I shouldn't have even taken you there, okay? So forget you heard that. He wasn't Italian. But anyway, Jesus meets him, right? Jesus meets this tax collector guy named Matthew. And Jesus must have been strong relationally because he says to Matthew, "Follow me." And Matthew follows him. He just gets up and leaves his very lucrative tax collecting business and begins to do life with Jesus. And what truly is amazing to me is that throughout the New Testament of the Bible, this scenario is repeated dozens and dozens and dozens of times. Jesus meets somebody, they start talking, he calls them to follow him, and they do it. Now, in this scripture, we don't really know all the details of Jesus and Matthew's life and their new friendship, but we do get one immediate insight to a party, a dinner, a banquet that Matthew puts together. And we read about it there. Just think about this dinner time from Matthew's point of view. He's just started out in this new life with Jesus. And one day, let's just imagine this, that he gets home from spending time with Jesus. By the way, in Matthew chapter 9, we're reading, just prior to Matthew chapter 9, Jesus has been healing people who are demon-possessed. He's been healing people who are paralyzed. He's been calming the storm on waters. I mean, Matthew is seeing some amazing things with his own eyes. And so he's hanging out with Jesus. He's hanging out with these disciples of Jesus. And maybe Matthew starts to think to himself, "You know what? I have this whole new life. And I have this whole new set of friends. And I haven't even really gone and talked to my old friends about my new life. Jesus asked me to leave the tax collecting business, and I just kind of left my tax collecting buddies, and I've never really gone back and told them why. I wonder how I can communicate to my old friends what my new life is like." And then in my mind, I kind of see, you know, Matthew thinking, and he begins to remember, "You know what? Back when I was collecting taxes and had all the tax cash, when I was making big money, I used to throw parties all the time. I mean, everybody came to my parties. I threw awesome parties. And so here's what I'll do. I'll throw another party. I'll have another banquet. I'll have another dinner. And I'll invite all of my old tax collecting buddies. But I'll also invite Jesus. And I'll invite some of my new friends like James and John. And what I'll do is I'll kind of just mix together my old friends and my new friends in these relationships. And so the Bible says that he sets up this party, sets up this dinner, and all kinds of people start to show up. His old friends and his new friends. And we've been reading this in the book of Matthew, chapter 9. But in the Bible, in the book of Luke, chapter 5, it also tells the very same story. And I want you to see how Luke describes this in chapter 5, verse 29. Luke says, "Then Levi," that's Matthew, "held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors and others were there eating with them." Now, here's what I want you to see. I think this is so cool of how Luke describes this. I love the way he describes the word great. You know what the Greek word for great is? It's the word megas. Everybody say megas. You just learned some Greek. Megas. Where do you think, what do you think we get in our English language from the Greek word megas? Mega. I want you to realize that Matthew, when he threw this party, Luke says it was a mega party. Okay, this was a huge deal. There was a large crowd of collected people there. There were just all kinds of people gathered around. I mean, this was a house party. They're inside the house. They're outside the house. They're just everywhere. And in your mind, do you think that everything at this party just went great? Did you think that everybody just got along, high-fiving each other? I don't think so. That's not the way I see it in my mind, because these followers of Jesus, they would have known every single one of these tax collector guys. As Mark Moore reminded me this past week, these guys who were at Matthew's house, these tax collectors, they weren't just offensive, they were repeat offenders. They were complicating life for everyone, and they had basically traded respectability for wealth. They were making everybody's life in the whole community miserable. And so we don't know exactly what's going on there again at the party, but I'm thinking, you know, that maybe as the party goes on, they begin to loosen up a little bit, and maybe they bump into each other at the sushi table or something like that, right? There's got to be sushi because some of these guys are fishermen, you know, so they're coming together and they're bringing all their fish and that sort of thing. And so they start to talk, and I don't know exactly how it happens, but maybe they begin to kind of get a fresh start in their relational lives. But that's all just in my mind. We don't know exactly what happened in the party. We don't know exactly how the party ended. But I also have this idea that as the party is ending, as the party is wrapping up, Matthew is maybe walking Jesus out to the street, and Jesus is going to leave. And just before he does, he turns and he says to Matthew, "Hey, Matthew, a couple of things. First of all, Matthew, I love the fact that you didn't forget about your old friends." You see, Matthew, a lot of times what happens is people start following me and they start this whole new life and they get a whole new set of friends, and then they just kind of lose track of their old friends. And I just want to say, Matthew, way to go, because you're not like that. You really do have a heart for your friends who don't know who I am. And also, Matthew, I just want to applaud your courage and your creativity in that party. And I know you have a lot of experience in getting parties together, but that party was a great way to mix your old friends and your new friends together. And Matthew, I know that maybe not everything went as you wanted it to, and not everybody was mixing the way you wanted it to, but I'm pretty sure some seeds were planted. Way to go, Matthew. I'm so proud of you. Well done. And then I imagine Jesus just kind of walking out into the darkness and fading into the shadows. And when that happens, I think Matthew just went, "Yes! Yes! It worked! It worked! I'm really starting to introduce my new life to my old friends. It actually worked. I'm getting a fresh start." And friends at CCV, today let's do this. Let's not just leave this story 2,000 years removed on some old dusty road at somebody else's house. Let's think about how this applies to our world, in our lives today. Maybe for some of you on all of our campuses, you've just come to know Jesus over the course of the last year. 2014, or maybe just right here at the beginning of this new year. Maybe you've known Jesus for a few years, but here's the thing, and only you can answer this for yourself. It could be that you started following Jesus in the last few months or years, and the truth is maybe you haven't done as good a job as you would have liked in connecting your old friends to Jesus. And I just want you to know that the party that Matthew throws, it gives us a great outline for how we can get a fresh start in our friendships and relationships this new year. If you're taking notes, I want you to write down just three different things we can learn from this section of Scripture. First of all, don't forget about your old friends. Don't forget about your old friends. Just decide, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to leave them behind. Now, I know when I start talking about this sort of thing and we start talking about these sorts of scriptures where we're talking about going public and taking a stand for our faith, I know what happens a lot of times. In our minds, we're thinking to ourselves, Todd, that's great and that's wonderful, but you got to understand, my relationship with Jesus is just actually a private thing. That's what we like to say in our minds. And listen, if you say that, if you believe that, I just want to say to you, I understand that you would say that, but with all the love and all the honesty that I can, I just have to say to you, that can't be true. Now, your relationship with Jesus is a personal thing, but it was never meant to be a private thing. Of course your relationship with Jesus or with God is personal. The way he came to you, the way he saved you, the way he rescued you, the way he speaks to you and leads you is as personal as it can be. But it was never, ever meant to be a private thing in our lives. And I think it's just difficult sometimes for us to understand that. It's easy to think about in here, but hard to keep our minds around out there. And take a look at what Jesus, this is Jesus himself, what he said about our relationships and our friendships. He said this, he said, you're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus says, For you and me, when it comes to our lives and in our communities and in our neighborhoods, he says, you're kind of like the light of the world. You're like this city that on a hill that can't be hidden. You don't light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. Jesus says that we live our lives out for him in a public way, not so that people can see us and praise us, but that so that people can see God and that he can become more popular and more famous. In our world. And our relationship with Jesus is a personal thing, but it was never ever meant to be a private, hidden, secretive thing. And so maybe the best way that you and I can get a fresh start in this new year with our relationships is just by saying this, hey, I'm not gonna forget about my old friends. I'm just not gonna do that in this new year. Here's a second thing we can learn, and that is to be creative when bringing your old and new friends together. Get creative in doing that. Now, how many of you realize, I'm guessing it's most of you realize, that the Super Bowl is happening next weekend, right? Are you familiar with this? Not only is the Super Bowl happening, but we are hosting it here in Phoenix, which is pretty cool. And so let me just ask you this. On all of our campuses, everybody participate, no matter where you are. Are there any Seahawk fans on all of our campuses? Yeah. What about on all of our campuses, don't be shy, any Patriots fans? On any? Okay. And what about on all of our campuses, any Cardinal fans? Some Cardinal fans? Yeah, I think, well, unfortunately, there can't be three teams in the Super Bowl, okay? That would be awesome. But the Super Bowl is coming to town. And by the way, Pastor Don, this is a message to you directly from Pastor Don. Next weekend on all of our campuses, he wants everybody that has one to wear an NFL jersey. So next weekend, if you've got an NFL jersey, ladies, if you want to bedazzle one or something like that, just whatever you have to do, whatever you have to do next weekend, Super Bowl weekend, Pastor Don says, wear your NFL jersey. So here, again, here's the thing. The Super Bowl is coming to town. And just think about this. I have to believe that there is no better time in our culture to connect your old friends with your new friends. To mix your old and new friends together, why not consider having a Super Bowl Matthew party next week at your house, at your apartment? Last year, the Clark family, we did this, and we're going to do it again this year. We had about 50 people show up at our house last year for the Super Bowl, and some of these were friends from CCV who are close to God, and some of these were our neighbors who are far from God. And I just want to tell you this in advance. If you're thinking about this sort of thing, if you're contemplating it, I just want you to know that mixing your friends together can be messy, okay? Mixing your friends who know God with your friends who don't know God can be a very messy thing. I can just tell you from experience, you have a Matthew Super Bowl party, there's going to be a bunch of people at your house, and some of them may be yelling out at the ref, yelling out at the TV. Some of them may be using some pretty rough language, laughing at inappropriate Super Bowl commercials. And that's just your CCV friends, right? I mean, when you add in your friends who are far from God, it gets messy. Sometimes. It just does. And you remember the Super Bowl last year, man, it was awful. You had the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks, and the game was basically over by halftime. Both teams wanted it to be over at halftime. It was a terrible second half, but here's the cool thing I remember about this gathering, this Matthew party at my house. Even during the second half, hardly anybody left. And I can remember it like truly like it was yesterday. I can remember seeing groups of people out in our backyard gathered around a fire pit just kind of talking. I can remember people over by the coffee maker in the kitchen and people out in our courtyard kind of in the driveway sitting around and talking. I remember all these little pockets of people just gathering up and talking together and learning about each other. And a lot of these people, they didn't know each other at all just one day earlier. And it was incredible to bring them together. A couple of years ago, I read this book by Bill Hybels called Just Walk Across the Room. And Bill Hybels, who's a pastor in Chicago, is really one of the first guys I ever heard talk about Matthew and the party that he had. And Bill Hybels, in his book, talks about a Matthew party that he held at his house around the Christmas time. And I remember reading this, and I've just never forgotten how he described what happened at the party, especially as the party started to wind down. And so I went back and I found it, and I just want to read you this section of what Bill says about his Matthew party around the Christmas season. He says, finally, after I had given everyone the boot, which, you know, sometimes you got to boot them, right? I mean, they don't leave. Anyway, finally, after I had a party and I gave everyone the boot, I half-heartedly picked up the remaining dishes and grabbed the stray glasses and headed back to the kitchen, dazed by the significance of all that had happened. Sometime just before daybreak, my mind still racing from the mystical aspects of the party, I thought to myself, the whole thing comes down to nights just like this one. The future of the kingdom of God comes down to whether or not average rank and file Christ followers will do in their everyday lives what just happened in my home tonight. And I have just never forgotten that. When I read it, it marked me so deeply that moments, eternities could hang in the balance of parties and moments like this when just everyday, normal, average Christian people, followers of Jesus, decide to create these moments in their homes where their new friends and their old friends can come together. And friends, I gotta tell you, I think eternities really do, even more than we realize. I know they do. Eternities hang in the balance of moments like this and the eternal zip code of many of our friends, neighbors, family members. It comes down to this question of whether or not you and I are going to get a fresh start in our friendships this new year. Are we going to get creative and courageous in mixing our old friends and our new friends together? Now, I know when we say this, and it's easy to get kind of excited on a weekend while you're sitting in an auditorium. It's easy to talk about in here, but it's really hard to do out there. Because sometimes you feel alone in this. It can be intimidating. And I just want to take a moment and say to you, that's why one of the greatest things we do around here at CCV is not just the weekend, it's the neighborhoods during the week. The neighborhood ministry and the neighborhood groups are one of the most important things we do, because when you get involved with your neighbors in a group, now it's not just you reaching out to friends and neighbors, or you praying for friends and neighbors, or you talking to friends and neighbors. Now it's you and your neighbors who know God reaching out to your neighbors who don't know God. I'll tell you, I lead a neighborhood group at my house. My wife and I are both involved in it. We lead it. And I promise you, one of the greatest ways that I can reach neighbors who don't know God is by partnering with my neighbors who do know God. Praying together. Coming together and serving our neighbors. Just having conversations with them. This last year on our street, in our neighborhood, has not been easy. And maybe some of you have the same types of stories. Just within the last 6 months on our street, there's only about 11 houses on our street. We live on a cul-de-sac. Just in the last 6 months, there was one young man who was just barely 30 years old who lost his battle with cancer. Right next door to us, actually. And there's a lot of people in that family who are far from God. But myself and some of our neighbors who are close to God were able to come alongside that family and just walk with them, and we still are. And it's amazing. Just a month ago, at Christmas time, one of our neighbors about six houses down from me, they just moved here from China. The man, who's a young man, had a heart attack and passed away right at Christmas, right there in his home with his wife. And so now he's left her a young lady who speaks hardly any English, and a little 3 or 4 year old little girl. And I can just remember thinking, as we're talking to them and relating with and serving these people, I can just remember thinking, man, lucky for us, lucky for them that they have this neighborhood group, these people who will gather around and reach out to them and serve them and love them. Lucky for them, but not only lucky for them, I get to say lucky for me, because I get to be involved in it. I get a first, I get a front row seat in what God is doing. So lucky for me, but not only lucky for me in the fact that I get to be a part of that, but here's what I know. Lucky for me, because one of these days, Todd Clark is going to need a neighborhood group around him. Pastors aren't immune from crisis. Just like none of you are immune from crisis. And one day, you're going to need this group of people right where you live to just be able to come around you and listen to you and walk with you. Here's my challenge. And then I'll move on from this. Here's my challenge. If you've been around CCV for a few months or even a few years and you've been thinking, man, I should do that. Man, I should do that. Man, I should get in a group. Man, I should get involved in neighborhood ministry and really reaching out to my neighbors and relationships. I just want to challenge you to make the decision this weekend to do that. To decide to come together with a bunch of your neighbors who know God so you can reach a bunch of your neighbors who don't know God. It's awesome. And I can promise you this, here's one other thing we can learn from this section of Scripture, and that is the greatest thing you could ever do for a friend or a neighbor is introduce them to a friendship with Jesus. It's true. There's nothing greater you could ever do in the eternal scheme of things then introduce this friend, this neighbor, to a friendship with Jesus. How many of you know this? Heaven is real. Heaven is real. And hell is also real. And real people really do go to both of those places. It's true. Eternities, I know we have so many things we want to worry about this weekend and this coming week, but eternities really do hang in the balance. And you don't know what's going to happen in your neighborhood this week. And so I say, again, in just a different way, 100 years from now, look at this, 100 years from now, the only thing that will matter in a person's life, in a neighbor's life, in a friend's life, is what they believe about Jesus. Isn't that true? 100 years from now, the only thing that's going to matter is what they believe about Jesus. It's not going to matter what side of the street they lived on, or if they had a ranch style or a two-story. It's not going to matter what kind of car you drove, or your neighbor drove, or your friend drove. It's not going to matter what kind of clothes you have. It's not going to matter if you left your Christmas lights up a little too long. Right? Some of you. It's not going to matter if you have an Android phone or an iPhone. It just doesn't matter. It matters here, but it doesn't matter there, okay? 100 years from now, the only thing that is going to matter, the only thing that's going to matter is what a person believes about Jesus. And so here's the takeaway. Here's the takeaway. What friend do you need to lead towards Jesus this year? I would say to you, there's nothing greater you could do this year. There's no better resolution you could have this year than to lead a friend towards Jesus. And partner up with your friends who know God to reach out to some of your friends who don't know God at all. And that'd be a great fresh start. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to come together and study your word and look at the Bible and the book of Matthew and the book of Luke and maybe a section of scripture that we've heard and we've seen and we've read before, but God, maybe just kind of in a new, fresh way today. God, I pray that we would be people who realize eternities really do hang in the balance of just little moments and Matthew kind of parties that we create. God, I pray that you would just challenge these folks and kind of burn into their hearts to gather up with some people right in their area, right on their street, who know God, who know you, to reach out to the many people around them who don't know you. God, let our hearts beat for that this new week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.